Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity, and happy Easter season. We're now in the season following Resurrection Day, and we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to take some time during this season to think about the ramifications of the reality that Jesus did not stay in the grave, no, he rose again, and what does that mean for us as human beings? Today I want to talk about keeping a resurrection perspective, and we'll see a little bit more about that. I'm going to begin with prayer. We'll talk about our topic for today. We'll read some scripture together. We'll take communion toward the end, and then we'll have a benediction to finish. So that gives you some idea where we're going to go with this today. So let's begin with prayer, and we'll get started. We're thankful, Lord, that we could be together today to think about what you've been up to. Thank you for coming, Jesus, yourself, to live our life and die our death, but more than that, to rise from the grave and to ascend to the Father and to give us your Spirit so we can begin to share in your life. So we're so grateful for this. Heavenly Spirit, we just pray today that you will move in a mighty way, make Jesus Christ real, let people know that he is alive and well and active in this world, and we just pray that you will do whatever you wish to do today, and we thank you for this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in this world where we live today, we've been experiencing a lot of catastrophic tragedies, personal tragedies. I heard about another shooting that took place, and it's enough that people are getting shot all the time, but to have several shot at once due to premeditated planning, that's kind of, well, it's horrific for one thing. And I cannot imagine what the people who went through that experienced, how hard it is. I think about places in the world today where that happens constantly. And where, you know, you think about the war in the Ukraine where that is still occurring, where their people are losing their lives. And whether we like it or not as human beings, this world we live in, has some very dark and very painful experiences in it. There is true evil in this world. And how is it possible in the midst of all this to keep a resurrection perspective? I mean, you would think having a resurrection perspective means we're all Pollyanna, everything's wonderful, happy new. But really, that is not the point here. You know, we as human beings, we're going through some really hard things, whether in our personal life or as a community or as a people. And we want answers. We need answers to our problems, not just someone's sympathy. And the thing is what we need to realize is God doesn't just give us sympathy. He gives us empathy. How? Because he joins with us in our suffering and death. He allows himself to experience the worst that human beings can do against someone else in his person. We see that Jesus Christ on the cross allows himself to be crucified when at any moment he could have stepped off the cross and walked away. He said he had thousands of angels at his beck and call. He could have walked away, but he was there for a reason. He was there because before time began, it was decided that you and I, human beings, were going to have a relationship with God, and we were going to share in their love and life. And they knew the cost. They knew our capacity to take all the good they have created and turn it into evil. They knew that before it ever happened. And it shows their profound love, God's profound love, that God would only do everything possible, everything necessary, so that what they planned all along would happen, and we would be sharing in their love and life. In our New Testament reading for today, we read 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again or born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." We see in Peter's short passage here, faith, hope, love, all from God. And we draw the source of our faith, the source of our hope, the source of our love from God. He loved us first. He believed first. He hoped first because he didn't really need hope, because he was certain of the outcome from the beginning. Now you think about Peter, the one who was writing that. And isn't it amazing? I mean, he's talking about how this suffering, there's a purpose for it, a meaning for it, that, you know, you don't just go through suffering for no reason at all. God redeems it, restores it, and so on. But you think about the story of Peter. And Peter, you know, we celebrated on Monday, Thursday, the night when they gathered for their last supper together. And Jesus, you know, is washing Peter's feet, and Peter's like, "Don't wash my feet." And he says, "Well, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me." So then Peter says, "Wash all of me." And he says, "You don't need all of you washed. You already took a bath, you know, I'll wash your feet though." But then Jesus is talking about that he was going to go and be arrested and so on. And Peter's like, Well, then I'll be there, you know, to the end. He's basically committing himself to be with Jesus to the end. And Jesus says to him, to his face, "No, before the rooster cries three times, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter's like, "No way, I would never do that." But in reality, that's what he did, didn't he? And we find, well, Jesus is being unjustly interrogated, and Peter's there by the campfire in the courtyard. Every time he gets asked, "Oh, you're one of those guys, aren't you?" He's like, "No, no way." I mean, to the point of cussing and swearing, he's like, "No, no, I have nothing to do with that man." And at the third denial, Jesus looks across and catches his eye. And it just slays Peter. He goes out just weeping. Because he never wanted to deny his Lord, and he did, didn't he? And so then Peter wasn't even at the cross when Jesus died, was he? But after Jesus is in the tomb, and the women come to him Sunday morning and say, there's no one at the grave. And the angel said he's alive. So Peter and John run to the tomb. And imagine those old friends were racing to see who would get there first. And Peter, can you imagine? Peter is dealing with the reality of the last thing he had said and done with Jesus. He had betrayed him, he had let him down, he had not been there for him, and he had to deal with that. And now Jesus was dead. How could he make this right with Jesus? And can you imagine the hope that began to burn in Peter's heart when he saw the tomb open and the grave clothes lying the way that they were? Can you imagine how he just burned with hope? Hope that death was not the end. You see, having a resurrection perspective helps us see beyond death and the grave. Peter wasn't sure what was going on. Jesus had told them over and over, I'll be dead, but on the third day I'll rise again. Or after 3 days I'll rise again. Or he said, 3 days I'll be up again. And they didn't know what to do with that. But see, if they had grasped a resurrection perspective, they would have known death was not the end. And now, looking back over 2,000 years, we can say for ourselves, well, we can have a resurrection perspective. And so we're looking at all these things in our life, the suffering, the difficulties, the tragedies, the catastrophes, whatever they may be. If we have this resurrection perspective, we realize we're not abandoned. We're not left alone. This life is not all there is. There's something beyond the grave. And we begin to get a glimpse of the reality that we were created for something more than this, for life in relationship with Father, Son, Spirit, now and in the new heavens, new earth, the world to come. And then, as it really dawns as what it means that Jesus is risen, that we have new life in Him, then we begin to realize that suffering happens. Life is difficult, but God can take the bad, God, and redeem it. God can take death and turn it into life. He can take what is evil and turn it into good. He's an expert at redeeming things, isn't he? And his purpose is to take these difficulties, whatever they may be, and whatever Satan may mean for evil, God always means for good. He can take these things and use them to form us more fully into the image of Christ, that image we were made to reflect. We were created to be image bearers of God, to reflect His goodness, His glory, His oneness and unity and uniqueness, that love that He is. We were meant to reflect that in the way we exist, the way we live in relation with God and one another. We are meant to reflect that nature. And so God can take these things, which seem so devastating, so hurtful, so difficult for us, and as we offer them to Him, begin to use them to transform and heal and renew and redeem. And what God calls us to is to be witnesses. Witnesses to the risen Lord, that He's alive right now and at work in this world. instead of keeping her eyes on everything that's going wrong or all that is bad. I mean, we need to acknowledge it. We don't pretend it's not there. We don't live in denial. But we take it to Christ, the risen Lord. And we keep this resurrection perspective, realizing he's alive and at work in this world. Peter later on, and on the day of Pentecost, stands up and he says, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11, he raised his voice, declared to them, men of Judea, all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. And he goes on to say, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. He knew Jesus before he died. He knew him when he died. He knew he was dead. And he knew him when he was risen. You know, we read the story, part of the readings for the Revised Common Lectionary. We'll read about the story where Jesus comes and meets them on the shore of the Lake of Galilee, at Galilee, and Jesus is fixing breakfast. And Peter sees him and just leaps out of the boat and swims toward him. He wanted to make things right with Jesus. And Jesus is more than happy to make things right with him. You see, it mattered that Jesus was a risen Lord. When Peter began to see that reality and grab hold of it, it changed his life. You know, if our focus is on our difficulties or anything that everything that's going wrong, on the negativity, the all the things that people are doing to ruin this world, if our focus is there, our world is going to seem dark, our life is going to seem helpless and hopeless. And those are genuine realities apart from a risen Lord. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And if our focus is on our burdens or brokenness, we're just going to be battered. We're going to be worn down. We're going to lose hope. We're going to lose our faith. So instead of this, we want to keep our resurrection perspective. We want to turn to Jesus. We want to take our concerns to the risen Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he cares more about that than even we do. Do you think God doesn't care that things are going on the way? The fact that you care shows that he cares because he lives in you. The fact that you want to make things different means he wants to make things different because he lives in you by his Spirit. And he's called you to be a part of that. When we turn our eyes to Christ, we receive his spiritual renewal by the Spirit. Our resurrection perspective begins to fill us with faith, hope, love. We want to turn to Jesus and remain open to his Spirit. And the Spirit will move us and begin to show us ways we can participate in Christ's work to redeem and restore and renew. We can begin to share in his redemptive work on this earth. And rather than being overcome by the evil, we overcome evil with good. When, you know, one of the hardest things for us to remember is that Jesus said, follow me. And if we're going to follow him, that means we are to lay down our lives, pick up our cross, that's our cross, not his cross, and follow him. And so that means we're going to have to deal with the reality that life's not going to be a cupcake. It's not going to be wonderful and sweet. There are going to be times when it's more like, you know, broccoli. And, but God loves us. And God did what was needed to bring us from where we are to where he means for us to be Christ-like, to share his life now and forever, to live in relationship with him with peace and joy. And we can begin to experience that as we walk by faith in relationship with Christ, following him where he leads. And yes, it requires a bit of death along the way. It requires sacrifice along the way. It requires humility and service. But God is more than happy to let us walk with him. He wants us to do it together. He wants us to do it in relationship with him and each other. That is full of other-centered love, full of grace, full of compassion, full of tenderness. It's a struggle. But it's not about our effort to get it right. It's about the fact that God has come in Christ to live our life and die our death and rise again, bringing us home to the Father, sending us the Spirit so that you and I will never be alone again. We don't go through any of this on our own. We have a wonderful risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just give thanks. And we give thanks for the gift of the Spirit who enables us to realize we are God's beloved children. So we come to communion and we're reminded that we died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory both now and forever. It's good when we take communion to take a moment and to think of the reality that how much we miss the mark. We were made to reflect God's image, and we want to know what that looks like. We look at Jesus Christ. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we see how far from that we are so often. But Jesus offers us himself. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us grace. So we receive that as we do the elements with gratitude and thankfulness. And we drink of Christ, his life for our life. We eat of Christ. He is the bread of life. We partake of him that we might be in right relation with God and each other. It's his life in us that matters, not us getting it all right. So will you join with me in prayer, and then we'll take the elements together. God, we just thank you that we're not alone. You've made us your very own children. You have given us your Spirit so we can share in your life and know that you are our Abba, Father, our Dad, and you are our elder brother, Jesus, and Spirit, you have bound us together. We thank you for all your precious gifts, Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We receive Christ's broken body on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. And we drink of the cup of the covenant. And thank you, Jesus, for pouring out your life for us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you rejoice as you are shielded by God's power, assured of an imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance kept in heaven for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. Hope you have a great week. And we look forward to seeing you here again on Our Life in the Trinity. God bless you.